the name of Jesus we pray.
Amen.
Certainly good to be here tonight. Thank the Lord for His tender mercies upon us today that we could be gathered together in this capacity to worship our God, our Father, and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Appreciate the humble prayer and your prayers as I come before you. I hope the Lord will bless us all together, that He will set a fire in our hearts, and that we'll go away strengthened by hearing the gospel and by being in the house of the Lord with one another. It's good to see our preacher brethren here. Brother Curley, appreciate him. I talked to him. He called the other night. We had a good talk. Discussion, and it's just good to hear from him. Good to see all of you. I hope the Lord will bless us in our meeting, and that Jesus Christ, our Lord, His name will be magnified. I want to begin tonight in the book of Isaiah, chapter 26 and verse 1. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high, the lofty city. He layeth it low, even to the ground. He bringeth it even to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy. The way of the just is uprightness. Thou most upright doth weigh the path of the just. Especially in the book of Isaiah, we find the expression several times, in that day. In that day, it says, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread, we will wear our own apparel, only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. In that day, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains. We find several times Isaiah is inspired by the Holy Spirit to say, in that day. Here in chapter 26, he says, in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. What city is under consideration when he says they shall sing, we have a strong city? I believe that in the Old Testament, we see pictures of the New Testament church. The prophecies concerning the New Testament church of Jesus Christ. And certainly I think here that Isaiah is looking through the years of that which will come to pass. And certainly there were things that are to come to pass that they saw that would come to pass, that the Lord would bring to pass, that the Lord would establish in the earth. Those things you can mark it down that they prophesied of, that the Holy Spirit made known unto them, those things were going to be. Because it was by the revelation of God that they were given these prophecies that this shall be. We have a strong city. Now the reason that the church is a strong city is because she is built upon a firm foundation. Jesus Christ being the foundation. The reason that she is a strong city is because Jesus Christ is our head. The reason that we have a strong city is because that when God's people are brought to see the truth of salvation and see the way that the Lord established the church here in this world, and they trust in that, they are a strong city. God's people are strong people when they see that they have a strong God. Because we have a strong God, because He is an almighty God, and He is an all-wise God, and He's a holy God, and many other attributes we could name, we have a strong city. So this is the song that would be sung, "We have a strong city." Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. This city God has appointed for salvation. God will appoint walls and bulwarks. So this city has walls. This city has bulwarks. There is a refuge in this city. You know, the psalmist David, in Psalm 48, I believe it is, he said, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness, beautiful for situation, joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great King, God is known in her palaces for a refuge." So here we have a city. And this city is a strong city. And it is a particular place, a particular setting, because it's in the mountain that this city is established. Now, all of these are figurative expressions that is real. We know that this is literal, it is spiritual, and it's real. We have a strong city because God dwells in the midst of her. Great is the Lord. Again, he says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness." Oh, we have a refuge in this city. We have a safe haven in this city because this is the place that God has desired to manifest Himself unto His people in a very special way, those who believe in Him, in the truth, in His Word, in His gospel. This is a gospel church made up of gospel believers believing in the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is the Savior of sinners. The psalmist David, in speaking about this city, he said in Psalm 31, he says, "Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. Here we find that those that trust in the Lord, they have a haven of rest and refuge in this strong city. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. I believe that the church, when they're looking to the Lord, when they're depending upon Him, when we're leaning upon Him, when we're believing in Him, it is a strong people. It's a strong city. The prophet Isaiah says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee." Now here, he says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee." In other words, the mind that is fixed upon God, he says, he will keep him in perfect peace. Somebody says, well, is there perfect peace? Well, the Bible says that there is perfect peace in those that trust in the Lord, those whose mind is stayed are fixed upon God. There is a perfect peace within us. Now, there's no perfect peace in this world. It's all chaos and confusion in the world. Now, in this world, our Lord tells His disciples, He says, "In the world, you shall have tribulation." Now, that's a fact. In this world, we're going to have tribulation. But He says, "In me, you shall have peace." He says, "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." He says, "My peace I give unto you. My peace, not as the world giveth. My peace I give unto you." I want to talk to you tonight about this perfect peace that I believe that we have found in trusting in this God, our God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. This perfect peace is within us. There is a peace that we have in Jesus Christ that is beyond understanding. It is a peace that we experience. It is a state of mind that the Lord's people have that trust in the Lord. He says here, "Because he trusteth in thee." Now here's the key. Because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. See, there is perfect peace. It's not in men. It's not our trust in men. It's not our trust in government. It's not our trust in monarchs. It's not our trust in kings. It's not our trust in princes of this world. But it's our trust in Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer and Savior. That is perfect peace within our hearts that God's people have as they look to Him. Moses, in that powerful sermon that he preached to the children of Israel, he said, "The eternal God is thy refuge. Underneath are the everlasting arms." You see, he says, "The eternal God is thy refuge. Underneath are the everlasting arms." See, we have an eternal God. He is not a changeable God. He is not a God that changes as we do and as men changes. He is immutable. That's one of His attributes. And I'm glad I believe tonight and can preach to a people that believe in an unchangeable God. If God changed, then we couldn't trust in Him. If God changed His mind, you know, Job said God is in one mind. So if God is in one mind, He's in a sound mind. He's really the only one that has one mind and is perfectly sound in His mind.
He is in one mind, and who can turn Him? Whatsoever His soul desireth, even that He doeth. I'm glad I believe that tonight. I'm glad that you believe that tonight, that He is in one mind. Whatsoever His soul desireth, even that He doeth. Yes, there is a perfect peace for God's people whose mind is stayed upon the Lord, because we trust in the Lord. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. The prophet Nahum in the first chapter said, "The Lord is good." Oh, I trust in the Lord's goodness. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. For He knoweth them that trust in Him. We have a stronghold. This stronghold that we have is in the Lord. He is a stronghold in the day of trouble. In this world we have troubles. There are afflictions. There are problems on every hand. None of us are going through this world without conflict and battles and troubles and trials. All of us have our individual troubles and battles and conflicts along the journey of life. God's children, as they travel here in this world, they are tossed to and fro sometimes with the fierce winds that blow against us and the tempest that comes in our lives. We all have those times. Sometimes they're severe in our life. Sometimes they're so, the storm blows upon us so greatly that there is times in our life that we might feel that I'm going to perish or I'm going to sink. Have you ever felt that way? That in their times of conflict that you might have felt, I don't know if I'm going to get through this or not. Well, you know, you can trust in the Lord. You can put it in the hands of God. You can come to the throne of grace and say, God, I know that Thou art on the throne and that Thou dost know the difficulty. Thou knowest the problem. Thou knowest the tribulation. You know the fierce winds that are blowing upon me. And I need Thy help. And I believe that God Almighty reaches down His hand and He helps us in the time of trouble, in the time of affliction and conflict and tribulation. How many times has He reached down in your life and He has brought you up and He has given you what you needed in that hour? How many times has God rescued you in your time of trouble and affliction? He may not have removed the trouble, but He give you grace in that trouble, in that affliction, in that trial, because He is a faithful God. And there was peace that we felt within our heart, even in the midst of conflict and trouble and trial. There is peace. But the peace is in Jesus Christ. The peace is in God. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ is said to be the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. You know, when He was upon this earth, the Lord Jesus proved who He was. He proved who He was by His works, by His miracles that He performed. You know, Jesus, the Son of God, came into this world and He lived here 33 and a half years upon this earth. 3.5 years He preached His own gospel and He comforted His people and those who trusted in Him. I believe that they had a peace within their soul. Sometime the disciples got in trouble.
You remember one time they were on the sea and the storm began to blow and the ship was tossed to and fro and the winds were blowing fierce. The Lord had said, "We're going to the other side." But they were afraid. You know, sometimes we're that way, aren't we? We're afraid. And they were sore afraid. And they said, "Master, carest not that we perish? Don't you care?" You know what Jesus did? Jesus stepped out and He just spoke to the wind and He said, "Peace, be still." And what happened, brethren? There was a calmness. The wind ceased. The troubled sea did not roar anymore. And there was a quietness. There was a serenity because Jesus Christ spoke and He says, "Peace, be still." And they said that even the winds and the waves obey this man. What manner of man is this? I'll tell you what manner of man this was. He was the God of heaven here in the flesh. This man spake like no other man. This man, we can find a refuge in Him tonight. The prophet Isaiah again in Isaiah 32, he says, "And a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land." This man, the man Jesus Christ, we can flee to Him for refuge and comfort and peace this night. He's always there for us. There is no trouble you're going through that His arms are not underneath you. You can't seek so low that He's not there with His arms underneath you. Now, when we begin to doubt and be in unbelief, that's not His fault. Because He's never given us any reason to doubt Him or to not believe in Him, to believe what He said to us. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon Thee, because he trusteth in Thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. He gives strength to the weary, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength." There's no energy shortage with Him, because He has plenty of grace to give to His people that come before Him, the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the church at Philippi, and I love this little letter. I love all of them, but I'll tell you what. This little letter to the church of the Philippians that has so many wonderful, comforting promises in it, that we can glean in the book of Philippians, and you find where that the word peace is used several times. And there is a peace that the Lord has blessed us with within our hearts that keeps our minds and our hearts in Christ Jesus. In the fourth chapter of the book of Philippians, he says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Now that doesn't mean that God doesn't know what you need. He knows what you need before you ask. But he says, "Let your requests be made known unto God." Does that mean by your praying that you're going to acquaint God with something? No, because God already knows. But I tell you what, dear brethren, He delights to hear His people come before Him and pour out our hearts before Him and make our requests known before Him and trust in Him and reach up by faith and say, "God, I know that Thou art near to me. I know that Thou dost love me. You can trust in the Lord tonight because God loves you with an everlasting love. He has loved you from eternity. He never began to love you, and He'll never cease to love His people. I'm telling you, He sent His Son into this world, and Jesus Christ, our Lord, knew why He was coming into this world. There was nothing obscure before Jesus Christ. He knew what He had to do. He had to die upon a cross to redeem His people. And that's who He redeemed. His people. He redeemed us from sin. I'll tell you tonight, if you believe that, that'll bring peace to your heart. For a burdened sinner. If you've ever been in trouble, oh, I believe you have. If you've ever been in trouble with your sin problem, I'll tell you, I got in trouble. I'm glad I got in trouble at a very young age. There was a time there in my life I thought I had everything under control. But I didn't have it under control. There come a time in my life that my world was turned upside down. It was really turned right side up. But I'll tell you what, I began to feel the burden of sin within my soul. And I was raised an old Baptist. But you know, until God performs a work within you, until He places His grace in you and changes your heart, you're not going to feel the burden of sin. But the Lord Jesus Christ, He brings His people low that He might lift them up. If He didn't bring us low, if He didn't show us what we are by nature, our old corrupt nature. You know, some people don't like to hear you talk about being a sinner. You know, some people, they just don't believe that you're as bad as the Bible says you are. Well, you know, we're not any good by human nature. That is, in our corruption. The Bible says there is none good. No, not one. He says they're all gone out of the way. They're all gone back. They're all together become filthy. Now, when did that happen? Well, when Adam transgressed God's law, we all together in Him became filthy. And when we come into this world, we inherited the old depraved human corrupt nature. And we get worse. We do. We get worse. Somebody says, well, how could you get worse? That, well, when we grow, when we mature, we get worse in our activities in it. Now, we're just as depraved as we ever were when we were conceived in sin, shapen in iniquity. Somebody says, oh, you preacher, you know you don't believe that. I do, because the Bible says that and it's true. Somebody, you know, people say, well, you know those little children, they're innocent, they're sinless. They didn't get that in the Bible. No, because it says that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. It says that we were shapen in iniquity. And in sin, David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. He was talking about the inherent nature of sin that he inherited, that we all inherited. A lot of people don't like to hear you talk about how depraved man is. But that's why Jesus had to come into this world to redeem corrupt, hell-deserving sinners. And what did He do when He gave His life upon the cross? He saved us. That is, He redeemed us then and there upon the cross. I have a friend, and I might have told this last time I was over at Meadow Creek, but I'm going to tell it again anyway. You may have forgot it if you were there. I went to my friend here a while back, several years ago, really. He's a chiropractor, and we got to talking about theology. And he's really a great guy. I believe a child of God. He's just confused in his mind. And we got to talking about theology. We got to talking about the Bible. And he's working on me at the time we were talking. And, of course, he says, now, He says, "Now, Pastor," he says, "what are you, who are you, Pastor?" I said, "Well, I'm a Primitive Baptist." He says, "Well, what do y'all believe?" He said, "I had never heard of one of them." I said, "Well, I'm a Primitive Baptist." I said, "Well, we believe that Jesus came into the world and He died and He saved sinners from sin, and all sinners that will live in heaven, He saved them on purpose." See, I just give him a short version of it. He says, "Well, I believe in grace." I said, "You do?" He said, "Yeah, I believe in grace." I said, "Well, do you believe that Jesus saved anybody when He died upon the cross?" He says, "Well, now, what do you mean by that?" I said, "Well, if He came into the world to save and He died, did He save anybody?" He says, "Well," he says, "now, if the gospel is preached and they'll believe, they'll be saved." I said, "No, wait a minute." I said, "If He came into the world to save, and He died upon the cross to save sinners, and you're saying He really didn't save, but they gotta wait till they hear the gospel so that they can have the opportunity," I said, that doesn't make good sense. And, you know, he got to thinking about it, and I said, "Let me ask you a question." I said, "If Jesus came into the world to save, did He save when He died upon the cross? Who did He save? Or did He not save?" I said, "Either He did or He didn't. You have to take one position or the other." Well, he got nervous, you know. And he had my head in his hands. He's going to crack my neck. And he's real good natured, you know. I was teasing him. I said, "Now, Doc, don't break my neck." Yeah, I know. He shook up. There's no peace in believing that Jesus is going to lose somebody that He died for. No peace. That's no perfect peace in that, is it? But I'll tell you what, God's people who trust in Jesus and believing what He did, believing that He redeemed, there's a perfect peace. There is a perfect peace. Jesus Christ is our perfect Redeemer. And therefore, there is a perfect peace within our hearts, in trusting and believing and relying upon this wonderful Savior. That perfect peace dwells within us, even in the midst of a troublesome world, a world in which we live in today, where there's so many trials, afflictions, and heartaches of God's people, and, you know, sometimes we make our own troubles. Sometime other people make our troubles. There's all kind of troubles in this world. There's family problems. And that can be great trouble. But you know, our real peace is in Jesus. It's not in men. We can't really trust in men because men are fickle. Now, there is a degree of trust we ought to have in one another. I'm not saying that there's not any trust. But you can't put all your trust in one another. Because, you see, we're fallible. We fall. We stumble. But I'm telling you about one tonight you can put all your trust in, because He'll not fall, He'll not fail, and He'll not falter. And that's Jesus, our God and our Savior. You can put all your trust in Him. And there's a perfect peace. There's a perfect peace when you have sickness, when you have illness, when you're growing old. You have that perfect peace. Several years ago, we had a member of the church. She is real old, been a member of the Old Baptist Church many, many years, ever since she was a young woman. She was old and ill. In the middle of the night, I got a call from one of the daughters, which is Primitive Baptist, said, "Can you come? Mama's calling for you." I said, "I'll be there as quick as I can get there." So I went in. Family members were gathered together. They thought she was dying. She is in her hospital bed in the living room. And I walked in there and she said, I want you to talk to me. She said, tell me about Jesus. And I started talking to her about the Lord. And she says, let's sing a song. I said, what you want to sing? She says, let's sing, We'll Wait Till Jesus Comes. I said, let's start singing. And we started singing, We'll Wait Till Jesus Comes. She was laying in the bed when I walked in, but the time we had that little service she was setting up, I'll tell you what, God was in there and there was peace. You could feel His presence and you could feel the peace in that room. There's perfect peace even in the midst of a troublesome world. Oh, if God's people could find what we have, if we could tell them of the perfect peace that we enjoy as we travel through life. God's children in this world that have been fed all this false doctrine, I tell you, they're troubled. They don't know really what they're troubled about. I'd be troubled too if I had to believe some of those. If I had to believe that, I'd be troubled. When you find the truth of grace and find the security and the surety we have in God, there's a perfect peace that you'll find in trusting in the Lord. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Trust in the Lord. That's an everyday thing. Trusting in the Lord. Do you ever get up in the morning and say, now God, I feel good today. I'd make it without you. You ever do that? I don't think so. But sometimes we act like it. Sometimes we may act like that. But I don't think you really say that, do you? You can't get along without Him. You can't get along without Him one day, not without Him, not being close to Him. You're not going to have that peace if you trust in yourself or if you trust in men. You won't have that perfect peace. But we'll have the perfect peace when we trust as we lean upon Him, put all of our confidence in the Lord. You see, He's trustworthy. He's trustworthy because He's proven that He is the God that sits upon the throne. And I'll leave you with this. Isaiah 52:7, it says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of Him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. You see, this is the gospel of peace. It doesn't scare people to death. It brings peace. It publishes peace. That publisheth peace. That publisheth salvation. That saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. That's why that we can sing, we have a strong city. May God bless you.
We have certainly enjoyed